For singing it. I don't know about you, but as I am in this season of stillness, I sometimes wish God spoke a little louder. Not just the season that we're in, I wish God would speak louder all of the time. I've needed God to give me an answer times in my life, and I wished His voice was a little more pronounced than sometimes it is. I remember when Jamie and I were in our first couple of years of dating, and we were deep into our sophomore year at Olivet, and we had been dating now for a year and a half, and both of us were called into ministry. I was called into pastoral ministry, and Jamie was called to marry me. Actually, it was mutual, but we were so intent on hearing the voice of the Lord. We just didn't want to miss the boat, you know. So we broke up. Jamie broke up with me. I'm not bitter about that. I'm just trying to add a little mirth to an otherwise miserable experience for me. But we wanted to hear from the Lord. God, what do you want in our marriage? Not what I want, not what Jamie wants. God, would you speak? I was looking for a megaphone. And God used a vehicle to help me decide His will. That vehicle was pure misery. And we had been praying, Lord, if this is not to be, you're going to help us take this away, this. And I don't know, it was a couple weeks later, I can't remember now, it seemed like 2 years, we felt like we had heard the still small voice of the Lord. You know, I tell couples all the time, and I tell those who are called into ministry all the time, that knowing you're with the one that God has put you with through prayer, not guessing, not circumstances, but you've dug it out at the altar of prayer, and you know for sure that that's what God wants when things get rough. It helps you to go back to that place and know that God set this up, and we can't break His heart. I tell those who are called into ministry all the time, the one thing you have to have with you is a call. If you don't have a call, you will die on the vine. You won't make it when waters get rough. So sometimes I wish I had a megaphone, and I think we all wish that God would speak to us loudly and clearly, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. We all want God's voice to thunder through the air with the answer to our problem. Most of you know by now that I grew up overseas in Taiwan, and there were occasions when the medium for communication, maybe through the political season, I remember distinctly little Subaru vans with a large megaphone bolted to the frame of the van on top, with someone in the car with a receiver, a microphone, you know, connected by that twisting wire, and they would just be yelling at the top of their lungs, you know, vote for my candidate, vote for this person, or do this or do that, or you know, boil the water, or whatever it was going on, you know, an announcement. And sometimes I wish that a little Subaru van with a big megaphone bolted to the frame of the van and God on a microphone yelling into it, Tim, this is what I want you to do. It never happens. But keep looking for the Subaru van, not there. It'd be great if someone would rent a billboard out on 465 and you'd pass it on your way to work some morning, and there it was, all of the answers to your questions. Well, you know all that spam mail we get. Wouldn't it be great to open up your email some morning and have an email that says, Answers from God? Now, if you get that, don't click on the link. It's probably spam. I'm just saying, if you knew it was the Lord and it was all of your answers. We wish we wish the Lord would tell us why he hasn't chosen to heal us yet. Why he hasn't intervened in our financial distress yet. Why he hasn't chosen to reach down and save our lost loved ones and friends yet. Why God does what he does or doesn't do what he doesn't do. We wish there was just no guesswork involved, that he would just yell out the answers. In today's passage of Scripture, we see that God speaks, and often he speaks in a whisper. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open it or your reading devices, or it's on the screen behind me. 1 Kings chapter 19, one of our favorite stories in all of the Bible. Elijah has just come through a mighty victory. He set up a competition between the prophets of Baal and God himself. They'd built this humongous altar and filled it with the sacrifices. And so all day long, the prophets of Baal called out to their idols, to their gods, to bring fire from heaven and ignite the altar and the sacrifice. And Elijah had decided whatever God would do, that would be God indeed. And so these guys, they just yelled and screamed and cut their bodies. I mean, it was a terrible scene, but there was no sound from heaven. Elijah gets on the scene. He said, okay, back away. Let me do my thing. Rebuilds the altar, pours water on it, and saturates it. And then he just says a simple prayer. You know, God, if you're God, would you? I think in the flesh he was saying, you better bail me out of this one. Right? And we know that God struck that sacrifice, burnt up the sacrifice, licked up all of the water, and God was proven to be God, and all the 450 prophets of Baal were taken out in one swoop. So we read in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, after all this happens, that when King Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. And Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. And he went to Beersheba, a town of Judah, and he left his servant there. And then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept and under the broom tree. And as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate, and he drank, and he lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. And the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. The people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord said. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And God gave Elijah a redo. What are you doing here, Elijah? This is an interesting story. It's not interesting because Elijah was having a pity party, because we all have pity parties. That's nothing new to any of us here in this room. It's interesting because Elijah had just come from one of the most tremendous, profound, supernatural victories any believer could ever experience. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, think about it. Elijah witnessed God respond with fire. Elijah witnessed God respond with wind. After that, a few days later, we didn't read this part of the story, but we did read it in verses 5 and through 8. God responded to Elijah with food. If you're thinking the moral of the story, the point of the story is that God doesn't speak in dramatic ways, that God doesn't get loud, and he doesn't make himself known, then you're missing the point of the story, because we all know that God speaks in loud and dramatic ways. And God created the heavens and the earth. That was pretty loud. Think of Noah and the ark. The floods covered the earth. It had never rained before. That was loud. The Israelites going through the Red Sea on dry land because God had parted the Red Sea. That was big and that was loud. The point is that we often look for God to speak to us, especially in times of stillness. But overall, we expect God to speak to us based on our personal or emotional or our experiential history. And the point is that if we miss how God speaks to us, if we miss the quiet and the stillness, if we miss the moment that God is moving because we're distracted by how things would normally go, and it doesn't really go that like that, we will miss the word of the Lord. Think about this for a moment. The Jewish nation absolutely missed the Messiah who came to the earth because they were not expecting him to be born as a baby in Bethlehem. And they didn't expect him to die on the cross and rise from the grave. Missed it. Remember the story in the Old Testament where God was calling Samuel, little Samuel. He had come to live in the temple and was Eli's understudy. And he was sleeping that one night and he heard his name, Samuel. And he'd go run to Eli and say, "What?" And Eli would say, "Well, it wasn't me." Finally, Eli understood, that's God speaking to you. And Samuel learned to hear the voice of the Lord. And I think the biggest task in this day with all the noise going on is that we need to learn to pay attention and discern the voice of the Lord. But there are some things that get in the way. Can I show you some voice killers this morning? Voice killers. Number one is this: others can kill the voice of the Lord. Verse 2, Jezebel said. Have you ever had anyone in your life where you could say, Jezebel said? Husbands, do not look at your wife right now. It would not be a good time. People can still the voice of the Lord from a loud megaphone to absolutely nothing. I mean, just think about this for a moment. Elijah, the one who called down fire from heaven, had the same ability to call on God to take out Jezebel, but instead of focusing on the power of God, he focused on the lies of the enemy used by people who were speaking falsehood. Anyone in your life? speaking falsehood into you? I can kill the voice of the Lord if you listen too closely. What about fear? We read in verse 3 that Elijah was so afraid that he fled. Have you ever been so afraid that your ears stopped working? So afraid that everything shut down? What about isolation? We read in verse 4 that Elijah, in his fear, running from Jezebel, that he dropped his servant off, and he went alone into the wilderness. You know, one of the things that we do really well when we're in a place where we need to hear from the Lord and it's hard is some of us tend to get isolated. We sort of cut people out, and we get alone to stew in our own juices, right? So dangerous. Can we look at a couple of things that happened when Elijah got isolated? When we become isolated, we begin to doubt our place in life. Look at verse 4. Elijah begins to talk to himself, and he says, "I just want to die." You know, Elijah forgot his purpose and his place in life. He just didn't want to exist anymore. And when we get off by yourselves and we're not listening to the Lord and we're not paying attention to godly counsel and we're not being still and focusing in on the Lord and we're in that place, our minds can begin to work and the enemy wants to take us down, and he will begin to change the way that we think about ourselves. And the way he does that is he gets us to think about ourselves through our lens and other people's lenses rather than through the lens of God, who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you. I'm talking about a lot of love. He'll get us to focus in on what we think and others think rather than what God thinks. Do you know that God loves you with an immeasurable love this morning? Isolation will do that. Not only will isolation cause us to doubt our place in life, but it'll cause us to doubt our power for life. He said, "I've had enough. I've had enough." How many of you have ever said that about life? "I am done. I am through. I've had enough." Elijah had had enough. I'm trying to think what he'd had enough of. Enough of the fire of God? What's going on here? He's buying into the lies of the enemy, and he has just had enough. And here we have Elijah, who has forgot that he has at his disposal a mighty and a powerful and a victorious God. And if we have a victorious God, you and I as believers live in that victory. We do not have to look for victory. We come from victory. Amen? Not only that, but isolation will cause us to doubt our purpose or our identity. I think it's really interesting that Elijah, he says, "I'm no better than my ancestors who are dead." He forgot that he was a child of the living God. And I want you to look at me, look at me. I want you to know this morning that in spite of how you feel or what you've done, or you're standing before Jesus today, you are his beloved. Now, if you need to confess sin and get it covered by the blood of Jesus and get forgiven and move on, then do it. Because God's love requires a response from us. But I want you to know that God's love is poured out upon you today, and he wants you to realize it. Here's another thing that can be a voice killer, and that's our own voice. Have you ever taken your own advice? Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, but Elijah in verse 10 and 14 began talking about he's the only one, that it's just life is bad, they're out to get me, I'm going to be killed, you know, woe is me, it's a very terrible, horrible, very good, bad day, or whatever that book is. I want you to notice that there's, in all of this, there's grace pouring out. I don't want you to miss how much God loves Elijah, because in verse 5 of chapter 19, God says, get up and eat. And then in verse 7, he says, get up and eat. It wouldn't be great if the Lord would just say, get up and eat. And I know you're saying, well, if you'd hurry, we could do it. God's grace is flowing like a river, even in... And the food gave Elijah food strength for an ultra marathon, and he traveled 40 days and 40 nights, and he brought him to, and I love this, the mountain of God. Mountains in this culture and time were important. They are in many cultures, but this is the place where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. I mean, this is a serious location. If you're looking for God to speak, you want to go to Mount Sinai, because that's where God spoke in a big way. He spoke in 10 big ways. And so there Elijah is. He's tucked himself into a cave. And God began to teach him a lesson. He began to teach him that I'm not always going to yell. I'm not always going to send fire. I'm not always going to shake the earth. I'm not always going to send food. Sometimes you're going to be in a prison cell. Sometimes you're going to be in a wilderness or in a desert, or sometimes you'll be in a cave. And in those times, God wants to remind us that whether it's a big way or a little way, He has something to say to us, and often it's in the still, small voice. When all of the competition is pushed out. We live in an age of information but have less communication than ever before. And so, you know, I sometimes look at my Facebook, but my AT&T bill, and look at all, you know, thousands of texts a month. We do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not decrying that. I do that. I even can say I need that. But we live in a day and age where, because of all that, our communication skills have subsided, and we have trouble with that. You know, in your cell phone has more computing power than the computer that ran the first walk on the moon. You know, if you have an Apple Watch this morning, if you carry around a watch like that, or its competitor's watch, you have more technology on your wrist than existed in the world before 1961 in one location, just like that. So how does that affect our relationship with hearing from the Lord? I think some of these things have points to consider. We're used to having what we want when we want it. We're used to receiving any piece of information when we need it, at any given time. What we need when we need it. When we want to treat God like the internet, we just want to open up heaven, put out our search, and have drop into our Google search responses all of the answers to all of our questions. But we all know God doesn't respond that way. Sometimes He answers big, and I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes, most of the time, it's in the quiet moments. Sometimes God doesn't scream. Sometimes God whispers. And that's why I think in Psalm 46, verse 10, David said, be still and what? Know that I am God. I have to say that I've never heard the audible voice of the Lord. I want to. If my heart could handle it, I think I would just faint dead away. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I hear him in my spirit. I'm trying to figure out how do you communicate the voice of the Lord, because a lot of people say, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. I don't even know what you're talking about. What's that mean? And this is what I think. I think that when our conscience and our mind is saturated with the word of God and time in prayer, that our conscience and our mind become full of the Lord. And when we need to make a decision, all of that filters through and the voice of the Lord is coming to us from what we have spent time doing. Does that make sense? That's why we need to spend time in the Word, church. That's why we need to be in prayer and seek His face. If we don't have that in us, the Word will. Thank God, though, that He can speak to us even when we're not doing those things, because it's the voice of the Lord that calls us to Him when we're far and deep in sin. That's grace. Here at Grace Point, our purpose is to develop disciples that can hear the voice of the Lord. That's, if you can hear the voice of the Lord out in the world, speaking to you, talking to you about who to talk to and where to go and what to do, if we can be kingdom-minded, the impact that we can have on our community it would be unprecedented. Let me give you some voice keepers. I hope these are familiar to you. That's why we emphasize them. These are voice keepers. I think one voice keeper is worship in the Word. When we make worship and the study of the Word a priority, we can hear the whisper of God's promises when the storms of life blow. When we're feeling alone, we can hear the Word of God saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. When we're struggling with questions, being saturated and loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength helps us hear His voice. Another voice keeper is connecting. When we're connecting with Christian friends, we can discover and have traction and encouragement to get moving. There are many times in my Connect group where just listening to people talk and tell their testimony, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, pay attention. That's for you. We need that from one another. If you're not in a Connect group, if you're coming to worship and you are not involved in a small group, I encourage you that it's the next thing to do. It's vital to your walk in hearing the voice of the Lord. I think when our focus is off of ourselves and our heart is to listen to who God wants us to reach out to in serving, His voice speaks louder. I just had this feeling, Pastor Adam, I don't know, he might be downstairs helping the kids this morning, but when Pastor takes out the youth group and they feed the homeless once a month, it's not just for youth, by the way, it can be for all of us, but I think when those kids are down there, I think the Lord is speaking loudly, because we're where His heart is, and wherever God's heart is, He's going to make some noise. Yeah? And then when we practice stillness in God's presence and pray. I believe in these days, as we walk the pathway, the journey toward the cross and Easter, and we ponder the things that Jesus did for us, the sacrifice that He made, I think what's in my spirit is that God is calling us to be still in His presence so that we can hear what Jesus wants us to know about it in new and fresh ways. Jamie, could you come down here a minute? I want you to help me. She didn't know I was going to do this. I just want to illustrate why. Just stand right there, sweetheart. And face me. She follows instructions so well. I don't get to do this at home, folks. I want to illustrate why I believe God is calling us to be still. So, sweetheart, I want you to whisper something to me. A whisper no one can hear. All right, but I want you to just whisper it so that only you can hear it. And we may read your lips, but whisper something to me, like, you're the greatest guy ever. Something, just something like that. It doesn't have to be that, but something like that. What? And just say it again. What did you say, hon? What? I'm sorry, what did you say? What? One more time, hon. One more time. One more time, hon. Thank you, babe. I love you. This is my conviction. The idea of stillness, it's not so that we can get a big revelation from the Lord. Because I just believe that as we wait in His presence on Wednesdays and on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and then in our quiet time privately at home, wherever that is, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us and wants to speak to us and share with us. But the point is not, you've got to understand this morning. It is not what Jesus wants to say to us that's so important. It's that Jesus wants us to be so interested that eventually, we're close enough so that our heads are side by side. Can you hear me, church? Jesus is waiting for you to wait, not on some big thing that He wants to tell you. He's got one thing that He wants you to do. He just wants you to get so close that you can hear Him whisper. And when you get that close, it won't matter what He says, because there's nothing like being close to Jesus. Are you getting that close? Because when you think about it like that, it's not just about coming and sitting for 45 minutes and trying to pick up what He's saying. It's spending time in His presence so that you can get as close to Him as you can. When Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. It's not about what He's going to say, and oh, He'll say stuff, but it's about proximity. I'd like you to stand, if you would, this morning. I want us to sing that song, Pastor David. I don't care if it's on the guitar or whatever. Or just play behind me. I feel like this morning the Lord would be pleased . He would just be so pleased. If there are those of you here today who say, you know, I've been so busy. And I'm not saying your life is full of sin. If it is, let's deal with it. God's grace is sufficient. But even as a believer, you're so busy, or you're so distant, or you're not... It's your proximity to Jesus is not what it is. Maybe a husband and wife, maybe families, maybe just you this morning, you just know that Jesus is whispering and He wants to get you close enough so that He can say sweet things to you. Yeah? So I wonder, is God speaking to you this morning? All I can do is offer the invitation. All I can do is give you the opportunity to take a step in that direction. But if Jesus is talking to you that way this morning, and you're feeling him say, come on. I want, as a physical act, I'm going to invite you to step out from where you're standing, on the floor, in the balcony, and just come and kneel at the altar, here around the stairs, and just as a way of sort of standing right beside Jesus, saying, Jesus, I need to hear your voice. I think you know what I'm going for here. If he's speaking to you, I just want you to respond. He's saying, oh, I love you. Come on. Come on. He's here. His presence is here. Been a far away, just tell him you're sorry. Yeah, just, it's not like you want to. Tell him you love him. I'm not very good at this, Lord, myself. Teach me to be better, Lord, at coming close.